And actually, my study is somewhat similar to what you reported in terms of some of the outcomes and and some of the methodology. So this is a study that was carried out in Sosnowiec, Poland, which is in the southern area of the country, in a region that had historically been mining. And the mines, many of them have closed, and so it is now more of a depressed area. The hospital where the data were collected was a miners' hospital at the time, but now with the mines closing, it's become more of a public hospital for residents of the Silesia area. And I have no disclosures. The purpose of the study was really twofold. One was that I wanted to do sort of a international contextual translation of protocols that had been used in 14 emergency departments in the U.S., and this was an NIAAA-funded, as well as a couple of other federal agency-funded, academic emergency medicine collaborative screening, brief intervention, and referral to treatment study. And then additionally, I wanted to test the effectiveness of the brief motivational interview using a screened-only group and then assessment and intervention group. And the screened-only group I will not be reporting on today. I'm going to be reporting on 3-month outcomes. And with the screened-only group, we didn't want to assess them at 3 months because then that would sort of run the ability to evaluate assessment reactivity at 12 months. So we basically just contacted them to verify their contact information, and maybe at next year's APHA I will be presenting on the 12-month outcomes, including the screened-only group at that point. There we go. Okay. So the rationale for the study. I had done an earlier study in the same emergency department, and we found that 25% of the patients consume more than 12 liters of alcohol annually, and 16% met diagnostic criteria for an alcohol use disorder. So as you can see, these people were fairly heavily involved with alcohol. I might mention that Poland is primarily a spirits drinking country. And so the typical drinking pattern is infrequent but heavy drinking. Another reason we wanted to do the study here is that the accessibility to specialized alcohol treatment was pretty high. There were no insurance requirements, so there were no barriers to treatment. And the academic emergency room collaborative study found one of the problems was that with dependent people, for which a brief intervention generally is less effective, that the people generally didn't take advantage of referrals to treatment, and so they actually found very little difference in the intervention for people who were more alcohol dependent. We initially ran some focus groups of patients who were RAPS4 positive in the emergency room, and the RAPS4 was an indicator of sort of a surrogate measure for alcohol dependence. And we wanted to explore more the specific context of Polish drinking to inform the brief intervention. And then we also wanted to look at barriers for changing drinking behavior in this culture. And we found a couple of the important ones was unlike, at least in the United States, there were many opportunities for drinking in the workplace, which encouraged drinking. And also just a prevailing social environment encouraged drinking to excess, where it's very common to be encouraged to sort of drink to the bottom of the bottle. The intervention that we used was brief negotiation interviewing, and this was from Ed and Judith Bernstein Project Assert, which they had developed at Boston City Hospital a number of years ago. It follows a FRAMES model developed by Bill Miller. Ed and Judith Bernstein came to Poland and actually trained our Polish colleagues who then in turn, under our sort of supervision, not knowing any Polish, trained the nurses who actually did the brief intervention, and then college students who actually did the assessment and the interviews. And our eligibility criteria, we only intervened with patients 18 years or older, positive on one or more of the RAPS-4 items. And then we had our at-risk drinking criteria, 11 or more Polish drinks, 6 or more for females a week, or 4 or more Polish drinks, 3 or more for females on an occasion during the last 30 days. This is equivalent to NIAAA at-risk drinking guidelines because a Polish drink is large. It contains 20 milliliters of ethanol, unlike our smaller drinks here. And also, they could not have been in alcohol treatment during the last 3 months. So we collected data over a 23-week period in 2007. We tried to collect data at the times that we thought would be more peak alcohol times, which was 4 in the afternoon until midnight, 7 days a week. Of the population, 65% were actually screened, and of those, 26% screened positive. Only 10% refused to be in the study, so we did successfully recruit 90%. And we did a two-stage randomized process. We ended up with 147 in the screened only, 152 in the assessed, and initially 147 in the intervention group. But they agreed to be in the study, and then once they ended up being in the intervention group, two of them decided they really didn't want to do that. So they just left the study. And we had really good 3-month outcome follow-up rates, much better than most of the studies that we've had here in the States. The screened-only group, which I said we will not be discussing today, we had a 92% follow-up rate, 85% for the assessed, and 83% for the intervention. These were the baseline assessment variables, similar to what you did, BAC. We looked at injured and non-injured patients in the emergency department, self-reported drinking within 6 hours. We asked whether or not they were feeling drunk at the time, whether or not they attributed a causal attribution of their drinking with the event. We did the 30-day timeline follow-back for outcomes of alcohol measures, and the short inventory of problems for consequences of drinking. We also looked at risk-taking, impulsivity, and sensation-seeking, and readiness and stage of change. And at 3 months, we looked at some of these same variables again. So this shows the demographics and screening characteristics, and I think the one thing that seems sort of jumps out at you, I think, is that you look at the drinking days per week, 2.5 to 3. Well, that doesn't seem very excessive. Average drinks per day, 2 or 3. Well, that's not very excessive. It's more if you look at drinks per drinking day. That goes up to 5 or 6. But you look at maximum drinks on occasion, and there you can really see this captures the typical drinking style. They don't drink maybe very often, but when they do drink, they drink fairly large quantities. And as you can see, very few had been in treatment for alcohol problems. This then shows differences between the assessed and intervention group on some of the assessment characteristics. And here, I think you might notice that despite our randomization procedure, which we thought was pretty good, you can see that the intervention group actually is higher on all of these variables. There's only a couple that aren't significant. I think one is mean consequences of drinking and the causal attribution, but we saw this as being a slight problem. And so what we did here, we decided two things. One is we sort of wanted to equalize out the intervention and the assessment group before we got actually into the analysis. And also, as we know from the literature, that brief intervention seems to work best with people who are less alcohol involved, and those who are really dependent, maybe it doesn't work as well. So here you see a scatter plot of those who average more than 6 drinks a day on 2 measures at baseline. One measure was the timeline follow-back, and the other one was a quantity frequency measure that we actually used to screen them for at-risk drinking. So anyone that fell outside of 6 drinks on average day for both of these measures, we excluded from an analysis. So that included 2 in the assessment group and 13 in the intervention group. So here you see changes in screening characteristics at 3-month follow-up, and as you can see, both assessed and the intervention group had significant declines in RAPS-4 positive score and percent at-risk drinking. And likewise for maximum drinks per occasion, drinking days per week, drinks per drinking day, and negative consequences. So this is very common to what's been found in almost all the studies, really. Very little difference. So just to summarize this part of it, then the sample exhibited infrequent but heavy episodic drinking, which is somewhat different than some of the other groups that we've studied in the U.S. anyway, to look at the efficacy of brief intervention. 87% met criteria for at-risk drinking, 60% for alcohol dependence. Only a small percent received any alcohol treatment. And both groups showed significant decreases on the variables of interest. We did analysis of a covariance, and we control for baseline measures and then additionally demographic characteristics. And we still found no difference between the two groups, even though there were some non-significant differences, as I've pointed out here. None of these differences were significant. We then did one other thing. We decided that there may be some variables that might be important in predicting the efficacy of brief intervention, and this was injury status. We had assumed or hypothesized that injured patients may benefit more from a brief intervention. Those that were BAC positive at the time of the emergency department visit, those who reported drinking prior to the injury, those who felt there was a causal association of their drinking with the event, and those who were more ready to change. 3 of these variables turned out to be significant. Injured patients had significant decreases in some of the drinking and consequence variables compared to the assessment group. Likewise, those with a positive BAC, but interestingly, those who did not attribute a causal association of their drinking with the event seemed to benefit more from the intervention. And that was contrary to sort of what we had hypothesized. So in conclusion, we felt we were able to successfully transport the CBRIT protocol to the Polish emergency room. The findings are similar to others and yours in terms of finding both groups showed significant decreases in outcome variables. And similar to the academic emergency medicine collaborative study in the U.S., relatively few of the Polish patients sought alcohol treatment, and so we really weren't able to evaluate how effective it might be for dependent patients who did go on to seek treatment. So it should be noted that, as I mentioned, the analysis were restricted to those who did not drink more than 6 drinks per daily average, which eliminated those who were more severely dependent. I think we did find some differences in some of the subgroups, which probably merits more a study in the future. And I think that we really need to do more studies in the emergency department. I think that the literature suggests that brief intervention is effective in primary care, but the literature is really mixed in emergency departments, and I don't think we yet quite know why that is. And it may be that we need to concentrate more on some of these subgroups to see which patients may benefit most from a brief intervention. So, that's it. Thank you. So our next speaker is one Kim Cook, and she is at the Alcohol Research Group in Emeryville, and she is going to be presenting on Beyond Acculturation, a study of alcohol use among Korean American adolescents in California.